Welcome, sisters, to another powerful moment in God's presence with Growing in Christ's Grace. Wherever you are, pause and prepare your heart, because this is more than a message. This is a divine encounter. Have you ever heard the whisper that your past is too messy, too broken, too far gone for God to use you? That the mistakes, the pain, or the regrets somehow disqualify you? Today, we silence that lie with the truth of God's word. As you listen, I want to encourage you, don't just hear this message, receive it. Invite the Holy Spirit to move in your hearing. Let him minister to those hidden places, heal what still hurts, and remind you of who you are in Christ. You are not defined by who you were, but by who you are becoming in him. There is no condemnation over your life, only redemption, restoration, and a future filled with purpose. So lean in, open your heart, and allow the Spirit of God to speak directly to you. Your past does not disqualify your future. This is your moment to walk in truth and live victoriously.
So this message tonight is taken from the 7-day devotional that you all have been studying for quite some time now. Amen? Your past does not disqualify your future. And so, if you, sister, I want to ask you something. How often have you heard the enemy whisper this to you? You messed up too much. God could never use you, with such an emphasis on you. Maybe it's a memory of the past, a mistake you've made, a poor decision, broken relationships, or sins that you feel cling to you like a shadow. But the truth of the gospel, ladies, is this. Your past does not disqualify your future in Christ. And the emphasis is on in Christ. Because this is the truth. If you are a child of God, then Satan has lied to you. He is a liar and a father of lies. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of his blood shed for us, we are not defined by who we used to be, but by who we are becoming in Christ. Scripture reminds us of this. No condemnation possesses the power to overtake you. No condemnation has the authority to strangle your destiny or deny your future in Christ. That's Romans 8:1. That's the word. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And as his own, God has spoken a word concerning you. God speaks your new name, and that name is daughter of mine, wonderfully made. And when God speaks a thing, 100 billion failures and mistakes disappear. When God speaks, he establishes a thing. It is so, and it cannot be otherwise. So I urge you tonight to leave behind your past, to walk in the newness of life. Sisters, let's victoriously live in Christ today and every day. So let's talk about Paul. I want to use Paul as a foundation or an example of used to be. And I'm going to take this from Acts 9, 1 through 19. I'm not going to read it all. Because we understand that Paul wasn't always called Paul. There was a time in his life when he used to be proudly identified as, used to be called Saul, but God. So when the Lord speaks, and especially when he spoke to Paul, Paul's life changed, because that's what God does. Amen? When God speaks a thing, it decrees and establishes a thing. Amen? So I'm going to paraphrase Acts 9, 1 through 19. Saul is traveling to Damascus. He's on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians when a bright light from heaven suddenly surrounds him. He falls to the ground and hears the voice of Jesus asking, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Blinded, Saul is led into the city where he remains without sight, food, or drink for 3 days. Meanwhile, in the background, the Lord sends a disciple named Ananias to lay hands on Saul so that he might regain his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And obeying the Lord, Ananias does just that. Reluctantly, though, but he does just that. Saul receives his sight. He is restored. He becomes baptized and immediately begins a transformed life devoted to proclaiming Christ. It says, immediately, ladies. That means the moment we confess our faults and sins to God and invite Christ into our lives as our Lord and Savior, you are redeemed immediately. Nothing less. Immediately. There are no additional steps. Immediately. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have become a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, in fact, Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Immediately, Paul was reminding the Corinthians that I'm not who I used to be. I have been redeemed by Christ. I am a new creation. The same thing that applied to Paul then applies to you, to me, today. Notice, this is not a gradual suggestion, hence the immediately. Instead, it's a divine declaration. The moment you come to Christ, you are new. Your sins are forgiven. Your record wiped clean. Your past and all your failures have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And your future secured in him. You are born again. And he doesn't stop there, does he? He then empowers you with the Holy Spirit. to live your new life in Christ. Think about it like this, ladies. Think on this. God doesn't recycle your past. He throws it all into the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more. He doesn't recycle your past. Instead, he recreates your identity. He recreates your identity. Not rehabilitated. He recreates it. This is why Acts 9:15 is so important, right? That part of what I just read to you. Ananias did not want to go and minister to Paul, as the Lord had instructed him, right? He says, but Lord, isn't this the one who persecuted the Christians? He's after us. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument. He will proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. You see, God has a mission uniquely designed for Paul. And we're going to that the next time we're together. He had something uniquely set aside for Paul to do, right? So God's redemption, course corrected, giving even Ananias a different perspective of who Paul is, Saul at the time. This means for us today, your shame is replaced by peace. Your guilt is covered with grace. Your brokenness is made whole in Christ. Paul recognized the value of God's work in his life when he said, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Paul recognized the value of God's grace in his life. And then in that, he decided to say, yes, I did those things. Yes, I am guilty of what I used to do. I did those things, but God. And in that, but God, Paul made a decision to press forward, not looking back. Philippians 3:13 through 14 says it this way, forgetting what lies behind, press forward to what lies ahead. Paul said that I press on. I can't stay right here. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, a man with one of the darkest pasts, a persecutor of Christians, he approved the stoning of Stephen. But yet, he did not let his past sin chain him down, prevent him, nor hinder him from laying hold of what God had uniquely called him to do, to preach the gospel of God's great grace to the Gentiles. Amen? He did not allow it to interrupt the mission of God. Instead, he laid his sin, he laid his fault, his past failures, all of it, at the foot of the cross. And having done that, he pressed forward, not going back and picking it up. He turned his back on his past and pressed forward toward the mission Christ gave him. Now, I wonder how many women on the line tonight that was like me. You just couldn't let go of that past. So afraid, insecure of what people might say, preventing yourself, not allowing yourself to move forward, to do fully the things that Christ has surely called you to do. You know he has. But you're afraid. Your strength and your crutch, because the past has strangled you, has choked you, and the enemy has convinced you that no one wants to hear anything you have to say, not you. Who do you think you are? I remember when, but that's a lie, from the pit of hell, because you are no longer who you used to be. You are no longer what you used to do. You are indeed a new creation in Christ. Amen? You are not that woman. Move forward. God has a plan for you. So I'm going to stop here and ask this question. What does it mean to you personally that the old has passed away, the new has come? In what ways have you seen God transform your life since you gave your life to him? What does that mean to you? That the old has passed away and the new has come. The line is open.
Amen. Okay. I'm thankful for this word because, you know, we don't hear it enough traditionally in our church services, or it's kind of glossed over. And it doesn't really settle in the spirits of the people that it needs to the saints of 40, 50 years. You know, yeah, they know. But it took for me to really, really let this settle in my spirit, you know, that God is not recycling my past, for me to take power back from people that did recycle my past. And now it's like, I'm not perfect, but I know I'm redeemed. And no one's opinion that I know supersedes God. So moving forward with that knowledge has really allowed me to free myself from the shackles that man keeps trying to place on me, because man does keep tabs for whatever reasons, whether it's spite or envy or, you know, just malicious, whatever reasons. And it's like, y'all are judging a woman that I don't even know anymore. I am a new creature. I'm not a perfect creature, but I'm a new creature. But if you want to waste your time like that, you know, be my guest. But, you know, I learned now that I don't have to join them in that. And, you know, it's still a work in progress. Anytime I'm doing something new, that voice of man is still in the back of my head, because it does take some relearning. But I thank God that this is a message that I can always go back to. To remind me that God has a purpose for me, and it has nothing to do with what I've done in the past. Amen.
Amen, amen. I appreciate that God does not allow us to remain shackled to our past, right? And she says, I don't even know this woman that you are talking about, because God doesn't remember either. I appreciate that. Okay. Amen, amen. We're going to move on. I cannot say this enough. God does not remember, nor does he keep a record of your past. Neither should we. God himself, the sovereign God, the one who flung all the stars into the galaxy, the one who sits at the four corners of the universe, has thrown your past failures and your sins into a sea of forgetfulness. So we should do the same. Your past failures, ladies, are not a prison unless you allow them to be. Instead, they are a platform for God's grace to be revealed in your life, through your life. Your testimony of deliverance and forgiveness and transformation is the very story God will use to bring hope to others. The Word of God reminds us that our testimony is a salvation for someone else. the words that you speak in your testimony may be the thing that a woman on the line is listening hears and catches hold of. It leaps in her spirit or reminds her of the grace and mercies of God. That if God did it for Kay, or if God did it for such and so, he would do it for me. Because you read in the word somewhere where it says that we serve a God who does not show favoritism. What he's done for you, he will do for me. That's the word. So lay a hold on Romans 8:1, that there is no condemnation that can stop the story of redemption in your life. It's a done deal. It is sealed. Paul continues to assure us in this word that there is therefore now no condemnation, none, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. If Satan condemns you, the liar and the father of lies condemns you, twists the word of God. Did God really say? Would God really do? That's a trick of the enemy. But we recognize him tonight, don't we? People may judge you. They say. And even your own mind may accuse you. It's that loop you're on. You play it over and over and over and over in your head. What you used to be. What you used to do. And you convince yourself that, who am I? Well, I'm going to tell you who you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the sight of God. I have a little secret to tell you. That though they, you know who they are, they may not ever tell you about the change that they see in your life. They may not ever, ever applaud you for the changes that they clearly see that God has done in your life. But I want you to know this. They do. They do. Because the Word of God reminds us that we can identify those who are walking with the Lord, closely with the Lord. There's a measure of that. It's called bearing fruit. It's called bearing good fruit. And bearing good fruit is undeniable. So we don't live our lives waiting for they or them to applaud us, right? We live our lives as unto Christ, because it's in Christ. It's in Christ that we live and move and have our being. It's the word that gives us that book. It's the word that allows us to declare that there is no condemnation. Why? Because Jesus has already. He has already died. He has already borne your punishment on the cross at Calvary. His blood doesn't partially cleanse us. It completely redeems us. Sisters, tonight and every night, you are completely whole. You are completely forgiven. You have been completely cleansed, and you are completely free. And if God has forgiven you, who are you to hold yourself hostage to the past? You are indeed victoriously free. And so I want to stop there. I think this is a good place to ask another question. And the question is this. What steps can you take to silence condemnation and walk in the freedom Christ purchased for you? What can we do? What steps can we take in our lives to silence the whisper of the enemy, to silence the condemnation of our parents, and walk in the freedom Christ has purchased for you? The line is open.
Hey man, I'll jump in again. This is okay, because this topic for me, it has been a thing. Do you hear me? So I've been down through there and back up and down. But one thing is to really get this word. Really, like, I'm a reader. I research the word, like, get it in my spirit and have a constant reminder of that, pray on that, ask God to reveal how that's showing up in your life, you know, what steps, direct my path, and just knowing that God's word is sovereign, no matter what. And I think many times, and I think you touched on this, Vicky, a lot of times we believe what they say because we have adopted that idea as well. We believed it for so long. So some self-talk. You know, talk to God. Talk to yourself. Like, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. It doesn't matter what I've done, and I've done a lot. but I'm, you know, you're pressing forward. You know, separate yourself from those people as much as you can, and spend that time with God, and spend your time with that word, and really get it in your spirit. Really get it in your spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm going to touch on that. But before I do that, I want to open up the line for just one more woman, if she so chooses to share with us. The line is open.
Yes, I would like to say I agree with Tay, because it seems like all my life I want to do so. I want to be in the Word, and it seems like things always happen where I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to study, and it has caused me to doubt myself about who am I, you know, why should I, you know, tell somebody else about Jesus and his forgiveness. I have so much that I need to take care of, but I think this word was for me to hear tonight, because I've always felt like, you know, God, Not necessarily that he's forgotten me, but sometimes I feel so alone, and I just thank you for this Bible study, Vicky.
Amen, amen, amen. I praise God for it. Amen. Truly, he gets the glory and all the honor in all of this. I want to summarize what both of these women said. They said that it's the word, and it's relationship. It's intimacy and knowing God. Tay said, talk to God. Self-talk, talk to God. And in talking to God, we are allowing his grace and his mercy to heal us, to deliver us from they or them, or from ourselves. The things that we have taken on and made it to be so, because we believed it. It becomes real to us. But when we grow in our relationship with God, and in that intimacy of that relationship with him, that's the knowing. That's the knowing. That God's word becomes sovereign to us. Sovereign meaning, if God said it, it is so. And it cannot be otherwise. I don't care who says something differently. If it does not line up with the word of God, then it is not true. It is not so. So in knowing that, despite your past, despite your past, despite the pain or any setbacks from your past, and even current pain and disappointment, know this, God is. That is what you need him to be. When I pray, Father, meet them exactly where they need you the most. That's God is. Christ came, John 10:10 says, Christ came to give you life and life more abundantly. He's already rose from the death on the cross. And when Christ rose, he rose with all power in his hand. All power, all authority. Heaven nailed it all to the cross. So tonight, whatever your it is, know that you know. Know that you know. It is finished. It no longer has any power over you or your future. It is finished. Because when Christ rose, he rose with all power. He nailed that to the cross. All the sicknesses, all the disease, all the sin, all the past, all the hurts, all the failure, it all is done. You have now risen and have become a new creation. It's like Tay says, I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't know her anymore. I encourage you in this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1 encourages us to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set you free. And let not yourself be burdened again by any yoke of bondage. That's your past. Stand fast. Stand fast in your liberty. Stand fast in the victorious life that Christ has already died and gave you, that abundant life, and that life more abundantly. Stand fast. And when it comes to remind you of who you used to be, remind him of what the Bible says in the end. You've already won, ladies. You've already won. We read it in the back of the book. We've already won. Christ has already given you an abundant life. It is yours. It is so, and it cannot be otherwise. Christ has set us free from sin and a long list of past failures and condemnations and disappointments. Paul boldly walked in the grace of God. He had a clear revelation of the redemptive power of forgiveness. That has been made available through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. It is done. It is finished. And because of that price, we have been bought near by that blood. Ephesians 2:13 reminds us of this. Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were, past tense, far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ, bridges the distance between our sin-stained past and God's holy presence. The blood of Jesus tears down the walls that separate us and restores us to the fellowship with the Father. We now have an advocate. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. and have our needs met. We can go boldly to God. That's what being saved means. That the blood of Christ saved us. He restored the broken relationship between us and God. He reconciled it through his body. He's redeemed us from the sin of death. That's what being saved means. That's what we have. And like Paul, we ought to value the grace of God. Value what God has done. We are no longer outsiders. We are God's daughters. We belong. So we ought to be rooted and built up in him. As you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Just as you have been taught, abounded in thanksgiving. That's what Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says. God has called us to live victoriously. That's an abundant life and life more abundantly. We must stay rooted in Christ. Ladies, a plant that is uprooted cannot grow. In the same way, if we are not rooted and grounded in Christ, his word, his presence, his spirit, we will wither. And when we start to wither and we become separated, unrooted in his word, that's when the enemy seeks in. The word of God says he roams the earth, seeking to and fro whom he may devour. Ask yourself, am I available? It says who he may devour. But you have to make yourself available for him to devour you. Don't be available at all. When we are rooted in Christ, we grow strong. We bear fruit. And we overflow with gratitude. We become living testimonies of God's grace. God's grace. That grace is so sufficient for every part of our lives, despite who we used to be. That is good news. God's grace. So, in my conclusion, Paul is a living example of grace. And if anyone could have been disqualified, it was Paul. He was a murderer, persecutor, an enemy of the early church. But Christ met him on a road to Damascus, transformed his life, and turned his story around. Paul went from persecutor to preacher, from murderer to missionary, from enemy of Christ to author of nearly three-fourths of the New Testament. Paul wrote three-fourths of the New Testament. His life declares what I declare to each and every one of you on this line tonight, that God specializes in using the unqualified to accomplish his purpose in earth. I like the way Joyce Myers has said it too. She says, God often chooses people who do not have the right qualifications for the assignment, but they do have the right heart. I call it the right yes. If God has called you to do something for him today, you can be assured that your past can never hinder you from accomplishing that in which Christ begun in you. God has a plan for every woman of God on this line. He didn't save you to sit you down. He saved you to do a work. Amen? And so the application of this word tonight, what does this mean, woman of God? What does this mean? What do I do with this word, Sister Vicki? Sisters, I say to you, you may have a past of broken relationships, choices you wish you could erase, words you regret ever saying, sin you're ashamed of. But the blood of Jesus says this to you instead. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are restored. You are new. Allow your past to become a testimony of the grace of God. Your present is filled with His Spirit. Your future is radiant with His hope. Be assured of this, that because of the cross, hallelujah, you are not disqualified. You are qualified in Christ. You are not condemned. You are free. You are not forgotten. You are chosen. And you are not broken. You are made whole. So walk victoriously. Move away from your past and walk in the power of your redeemed future. So I challenge you tonight. I urge you to release the weight of the past. Speak this truth over your life. In Christ, I am new. My past does not define me. Father, the blood of your Son has redeemed me. My future is secure in you. And like Paul, let's press forward, rooted in Christ, abounding in thanksgiving, and living victoriously every day.
As this powerful word has gone forth, be reminded that your steps are ordered by God and you are guided by His divine GPS. From birth, God has already called, affirmed, and set you apart for His purpose. Let this truth rest deeply in your spirit. Your identity is not defined by your past, but by divine selection and love for you. We pray that this message does not just inspire you, but transforms you. May it live in you, strengthen you, and cause you to walk boldly in who God has called you to be. Stay connected with us and continue growing in the Word. Visit our YouTube channel, YouTube, and subscribe to Grace for Victorious Living, where you can experience more life-changing messages and discipleship teachings. Also, join our community on Facebook, like, share, and leave a message. Your testimony, your encouragement, and your engagement help build a stronger sisterhood grounded in Christ. At Growing in Christ's Grace, we are more than a ministry. We are a sisterhood walking together, growing together, and living victoriously every day. Be encouraged, stay rooted, and walk in your calling because God is your guide.